The title of my message today is The Preacher and the Prostitute. Did that get your attention? I don't know if the rest of the message will keep your attention, but that should probably get your attention. It's a story about Hosea, the prophet. Let's look at Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute, a promiscuous woman, a woman of adultery, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate," now here's the point, here's the illustration that God wanted to give to his people through this story of Hosea. "This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute, acted in adultery, how God's people have acted in adultery towards God by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods." And so Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of the pile. No, that's a different Gomer. Thanks for catching on. So he married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. Diblaim. Can you imagine if this happened in the church today? I mean, it would be the scandal of all scandals, right? That the preacher married a prostitute? And not only would it be a scandal in the church, I mean, it'd be a scandal in the world too, right? I mean, you could hear it on the news now, right? Pastor marries a prostitute. Details at 11. The Post would have it in their headlines. The preacher and the prostitute. Maybe Jerry Springer would even invite the couple to be on his show. Is Jerry Springer still on the air? Some are saying yes, some are afraid to answer that question in church. But I mean, it's outrageous to say the least. But this is the story of Hosea, who married a woman by the name of Gomer. Gomer means failure. It means completely given over to sensuality. Or it could mean complete. And perhaps in different times of her life, she was all of those things. Hosea, on the other hand, his name means deliverer or salvation. Same as Jesus, salvation. And he was the first prophet in the Old Testament to preach a gospel of grace. Now, during the time that he was preaching, Isaiah was a prophet during that same time, and so I think was Amos. But it was Hosea who first preached this gospel of grace. And he was preaching at a time that the nation of Israel was split into two separate kingdoms. There was a northern kingdom that was still called Israel, and there was a southern kingdom that was called Judea. And Hosea was from this northern kingdom. And he was the only prophet, even though there was other prophets that were preaching, he was the only prophet that was from the northern kingdom of Israel. And we learn from verse 1 that when at the time that he was preaching, King Jeroboam was the king of Israel, that northern kingdom. And he was one of the wicked kings of Israel. And things weren't easy for Hosea during the time that he was preaching. People were kind of, living it up, you might say, during that time. And really didn't have much time for God. Of course, they didn't say that. You never say that when it's true. But you say things like, I'm just so busy. There's so many things going on in my life, so many important things that I have to do. It's just so hard to keep up with the demands of God. And so the spirit is willing, but the flesh has other plans for the weekend. And so people didn't pay attention to Hosea when he was preaching to them. Because, you know, he preached about judgment and about chastisement. And he talked about this army, this huge army that was going to come and take over and push the people out of their land. And they said, you know, you're the God that you preach to us. He's kind of a vengeful sort. Well, we want to hear a more positive message. And he's kind of a vengeful God. And Hosea tried to tell him, no, he's a loving God. The God that I'm telling you about is a loving God. And the things that he's doing, the things that he says he's going to do, this judgment that he says is going to come upon you, this discipline that he does in your life, is the very activity of his love. I know that might be hard for you to understand, but he's doing that because he loves you. He wants you to see what you're doing to yourself. And sometimes the only way he can get you to listen, the only way he can get you to pay attention is to bring some rough times into your life. You know, God does that sometimes. Sometimes God makes things rough so he can get our attention. But it's still part of his love. Have you ever heard the story of this young man who said to his dear old dad, "I don't want to wait till you die to get my inheritance. I want it now." And his father said, okay. His father gave him his inheritance and he left his father's home. And over time, he blew all the money, lost all his friends. They didn't stay very loyal to him. He got a job feeding pigs because he had to make ends meet. And he was so desperate that he wanted to eat the slop that he was feeding the pigs. And it was in that difficult time that he was in that he came to his senses, that he realized that, and God got his attention, you know, and he went back to his father's home. You see, God is relentless in his love for you. He is relentless in his love for you. And he will do whatever it takes. He will do whatever he has to do. He will do whatever it will cost him, and he will do whatever it will cost you if he knows it'll get your attention, that you might come back to him. He's willing to do that. So that you'd be in fellowship with him again. So we have this story of Hosea. And through the story of Hosea, God does some strange things. He says to Hosea, I want you to get married. And Hosea is thrilled because he's a bachelor. He wants to get married. And I wonder if Gomer came to his mind, because to him, she was the most beautiful girl in the kingdom of Israel. But here's the strange thing. God says you're going to get married and the woman is going to be a prostitute. Now, it's possible that she was already a prostitute, and Hosea thought that, well, after I marry her, things will be different. I'll change her. She'll love me. And, you know, it won't be a problem anymore. You ever see people get married for those reasons? I know she's like this or he's like that, but, you know, once they get married, it'll be different. I'll change them. Things don't change like that so quickly. God could do anything. You can't. Or it's possible that she wasn't a prostitute before Hosea met her, and she just became unfaithful to him afterwards. Either way, God says, look, I want you to have the whole story here, Hosea. I know you're happy about getting married, but this woman you're going to marry, she's going to be unfaithful to you. And I'm sure that Hosea was puzzled by God's strange command, but sometimes God gives us strange commands. And this is one of them. He also told Hosea, you're going to have three children. At least Gomer's going to have three children, two boys and a girl. And when you have these children, I want to name them. God says to him, I want to name the children. And now maybe Hosea started to understand a little bit, because in those times, symbols were used to teach people. And people's names were used to teach lessons. God would use lessons, teach lessons through people's names. And so perhaps Hosea started to understand a little bit of what God was doing. You know, I read an illustration, it was an illustration using five different boxes of breakfast cereal. And I want to modify that illustration by just using two boxes of breakfast cereal. And the first one that I want you to look at is the Rice Krispies. There it is. Rice Krispies. Rice Krispies are fresh when you first open the box, right? And you put them in your bowl and you add a little bit of milk, and what do you start hearing? A little snap, crackle, pop, right? And that's how it is, you know, when we first meet the love of our life. It's like fireworks. There's a lot of snap, crackle, and popping going on. And it's the same thing when we meet God, right? You go into a relationship with God, and I mean, there's a lot of snap, crackle, and popping going on. But you know, when you let those Rice Krispies sit in milk for a while, they start losing that snap, and they start losing that crackle, and their pop starts to poop out. And it's the same thing in our relationship, same thing in our relationships in our marriage, same thing in our relationship with God. Sometimes after a while, you know, we get a little mushada. But now let me tell you about another breakfast cereal, shredded wheat. Look at that thing. This thing will stand up under anything. You can add milk, it'll hold up. You can leave it dry, it'll hold up. You can grind it, it'll hold up. You can crush it, it'll hold up. And I came here to tell you this morning that God has a shredded wheat kind of love for you. It stands up under anything. No matter what you do, He will love you. And He's teaching us that through this marriage of Hosea to Gomer. You know, you may be unfaithful to God. You may be running around. You may be sneaking off to some other gods. You may find yourself going back to old ways and doing things that you know, I shouldn't be doing this. I don't know why I keep on going back to this. But His love will hold up against anything. Hosea loved this girl. I mean, you can't read this story in Hosea and not see that this prophet loved this woman. And they must have had a wonderful and happy life together at first. And then the children started coming, and the first one was a boy, as God had said it would be. And Hosea was bursting with joy, I'm sure. And he went to God to name the boy. And to his surprise, God picks the name Jezreel. Jezreel means God will sow. Now when you sow, you scatter, you cast out. And the idea here is that if people didn't continue to obey God and seek God, He would cast them out of their land, cast them out of the nation of Israel. There's a story in the Bible about a woman by the name of, she was Queen Jezebel and Ahab. Ahab had cheated his neighbor out of his property, out of their property, and then he had stole their vineyard, and Jezebel was the wicked queen that was behind the whole thing. And in time, God's judgment finally came to Jezebel. And she was upstairs in a second story window, and the general who was down in the courtyard, General Jehu, he said to the servants up there, throw her out, throw her down, throw her out of the window. And they did, they flung her out of the window. She landed on the pavement and she died. And they never buried her because dogs came and ate her body. Oh, man. And that courtyard has been called Jezreel ever since. You see, it was a name of shame in Israel. But it's the name that God picks for Hosea's first son. And perhaps Hosea understood the warning that if they didn't realize, that the people didn't realize their foolishness, if they didn't realize that their actions were wrong and turn from their actions and turn from these other idols that they were worshiping, if they would give up their immoral practices, if they would stop trying to be like everyone else around them, then God wouldn't cast them out of their land. It was a warning through this baby's name. Well, in the course of time, another child is born, a little girl. And they named her Lo-Ruhama. Imagine calling your kids in those days. My tongue would get all crazy. Lo-Ruhama. It means not pitied or not loved. Can you imagine naming your little, beautiful, newborn child not loved? Talk about low self-esteem and feelings of insecurity. But it meant that God would no longer show pity to his people if they continued their stubborn rebellion. His patience was wearing thin. And when the little girl was weaned, Gomer conceived again, had another little boy, and they named, or God said that the baby's name should be Lo-Ammi, which means not my people. Another great name for a kid, isn't it? Hey, not my people. Oh, yeah. But again, God is teaching a lesson. He's saying, I will say you are not my people, and I will not be your God if you continue to live this way. God had said that the names of these children would be assigned to his people. Because like Gomer, sometimes his people are unfaithful. You know, the Bible says that believers are called the bride of Christ. And sometimes, just like in this story of Hosea and Gomer, sometimes this bride of Christ is unfaithful to our God. But here's the good news. Hosea says there's going to be restoration. Take a look at Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Take my shredded wheat down. Here's what it says. In that day you will call your brothers not Lo am I, not my people, but you will call them Am I, my people. And you will call your sisters not Lo Ruhama, not pitied, but you will call her Ruhama, the ones I love. But now bring charges against Israel, your mother, for she is no longer my wife. I am no longer her husband. Tell her to remove the prostitute's makeup from her face and the clothing that exposes her breasts. Otherwise, I will strip her as naked as she was on the day that she was born, and I will leave her to die of thirst as in a dry and barren wilderness. And I will not love her children, for they are conceived in prostitution. But if she repents and changes, here's what verse 23 says. God says, I will show love. I will show pity. I will show mercy to those I called not loved. And to those I called not my people, I will say, now you are my people. And they will reply, you are our God. Now look, I can't speak for you, but I got to tell you, I am so thankful to God that he pities me. I am so thankful to God that he sent Jesus for me. I am so thankful to God for his mercy, and I am thankful for everything God uses to get my attention and get me back on track of seeking him with my whole heart. I'm thankful for that. Frank Donato up in our sound room there, he gave the devotion at our softball game, at the end of our softball game last Monday. And in the course of that, he brought up a song, and I just want to read the chorus. It's the song that we played during the offering from Third Day. It's Soul on Fire. But here's what the chorus says. Lord, restore the joy I had. I have wandered. Bring me back. In this darkness, lead me through until all I see is you. And though God was upset with his people, through Hosea's bad marriage, he announces grace. A shredded wheat kind of love. Well, after the last child is born, just as God had predicted, the sad state of Gomer's life comes about. It must have been heartbreaking to Hosea. After numerous warnings, it just kept falling on deaf ears. And he divorced himself from Gomer because she went out, decided she was going to find life, find happiness that she felt she deserved. So she leaves him and any children behind. And Gomer passed from man to man to get the things that she wanted and the things that she needed. And they all wined and dined her and gave her nice perfumes and fine clothes and food and shelter and drink. But in time, it all ended, as it usually does. And all the satisfaction that she craved escaped her. And the difficulties that she started to find in her life at that time, things didn't really go the way she thought. Those difficulties started to make her think about going home. Take a look at Hosea chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. When she runs after her lovers, she won't be able to catch them. She will search for them but not find them. Then she will think, I might as well return to my husband, for I was better off with him than I am now. She doesn't even realize it was I who gave her everything she has. The grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold. But she gave all of my gifts to Baal or to other gods. And when you realize that the idols you seek can't help you, can't satisfy you, will never give you all the things that you want, and all these things that you follow after are meaningless. And when you, in humility and repentance, return to your God, he will be there waiting for you. Take a look at Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. Well, news of Gomer's miserable state came to this prophet, her husband, Hosea. This woman that he loved. And word came to him that she was going to be sold in the slave market. Whoever she was living with at the time got tired of her, was going to put her up and sell her as a slave. Brokenhearted, the prophet doesn't know what to do, cries out to God. And God says to him, Hosea, do you still love this woman in spite of all that she has done for you? And through the tears, Hosea nods his head yes. And God says to him, then go and show your love to her in the same way that I love my people." And so in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And then the Lord said to me, 'Go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover.'" This will illustrate, again, here's God's point, here's the illustration, or the answer, or the what the illustration means. This will illustrate that God still loves Israel. God still loves his people, even though the people have turned to other gods and loved to worship them. And so Hosea goes to the marketplace. And Gomer is brought up for auction, stripped of her clothing, naked before the crowd, and the bidding starts. And someone says, "I'll give 3 pieces of silver." Hosea raises it to 5. And someone else says, 8. And Hosea made it 10. And someone said, 11. And Hosea said, 12. And then Hosea offers 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley, the price of a slave. And the auctioneer's gavel fell, and Hosea had his wife back. And he went over to her, put clothes on her, took her by the hand, and led her home. And this is the picture of the unconditional love of God, who is faithful to us, even when we're unfaithful to him. Even though we drift, we get preoccupied, we pursue other affections in place of God. It's spiritual adultery. But when I think of God's love, how Jesus, for this low-down, running around person like me, it's overwhelming. Because many times we run from God, try to drown our miseries in empty pleasures. But as surely as we think we've escaped and we've run far enough, God touches our sleeve and he says, "My name and my nature is love, and I act according to what I am. And when you're tired of running and wandering and heartbreak, God says, I will be there to draw you to myself again." Take a look at Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. This is what Hosea tells us to do. He says, "Plow up the hard ground of your hearts." You know, when you plow the ground, right? You dig up all the stuff that causes things not to grow. You know, you find rocks in there, you got to get rid of them. And you find weeds in there, you got to get rid of them. He's saying, plow up the heart. What's in there that needs to get out so that the love of Christ can grow? "For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he might come and shower righteousness upon you." Let's pray together. Just want to remind you of how much God loves you. Christ was crushed for you to teach us about that shredded wheat kind of love. Holds up. God has that love for you. All of us, from time to time, we just kind of get too busy for God, or think that there's some better answers or whatever. God is trying to draw you back to himself. You need to seek him with your whole heart. Can't give him just part. of your life. You can't just add him on to your life like you add on other things. He's got to be the center of your life, the center of all that you do. And you're going to leave here and things are going to get noisy again. And the world's going to tell you there's a better way. So before things get too noisy for you, make a decision this morning. Lord, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to come back to you. I know that you're in my life, but I want you to have full control of my life. I hope that you can make that kind of commitment to him today. Almighty God, we thank you for bringing us together in this place. This place that was built specifically for the purpose of people coming and meeting with you. Unlike any other place. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts about how much you love us. I pray, Lord, that today we would make commitments to be different, to give you all of our life, all of our attention, seek you with all of our heart. I pray your blessing upon your people, that you would give them power, Lord, today, by your Spirit, to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Because that's the power you give when we trust you. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a good week. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in us and through us this week. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love. May we leave with your blessing. For Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week.